What's up, everyone? It's Nurse Blake, and welcome back to the Nurse Blake podcast. I'm here with my husband, Brett.
Hey, baby.
Also known as Babe.
Oh, wow. Oh, nicknames now.
How are you doing?
I am awesome.
I first want to apologize.
For what?
The air fryer I got.
Oh, thank you.
So this is a big week. I went out to Target and bought an air fryer. And when Brett knows I buy something new, it's always just like, how long am I going to be into it? Am
like
I going to be into it for a long time? Am I even going to use it? And I was so excited about this air fryer because I don't cook. And I thought having an air fryer could turn me into like a Gordon Ramsay. And so it was late at night. And I was like, I want chicken wings. And I was like, oh, I remember on the air fryer booklet, there was like a picture of chicken wings. So I'm like, I am making chicken wings in my air fryer. And I go in, you were watching TV, and I'm like, babe, I'm making chicken wings. And you're like, what'd you say?
Is that what that smell is?
I was like, what do you mean? He's like, it stinks. And I was so excited about it, but I actually burned them. I guess I overcooked them. So the whole house, even this morning, smells like burnt chicken wings.
It smelled like a Wingstop at 3 a.m. Well, you unpacked that thing like a week ago, and it looks like a spaceship. It is huge, and it's sitting on our counter. I'm at least glad you used it. How were the wings?
They were so crispy. But I like crispy wings. So even though the house smelled, it is huge. And it even scared our dogs. Whenever there's something new in the house, they freak out.
Yeah. We had their dog food bag out on the counter the other day, and they thought it was an intruder.
You would have thought someone broke into our house. And it's like, guys, it's your food bag.
It's your food.
They actually just turned one last month. Our kids.
Yeah.
Zion and Ranger. They are Pitbull Husky mixes. So Pitskies. And Zion, she got a little attitude.
Yeah, she's crazy. She's really smart, though.
Really smart and loves both of us. She loves attention. She will never eat a toy by herself. Like, she comes to bring you the toy, and you literally have to hold it for her.
Yeah, and she'll make you feel bad. She'll drop it right in front of you. And if you don't pick it up, she'll pick it up again. She'll stare at you with these beautiful blue husky eyes, and then she'll just drop it on the floor again.
So dramatic. And then Ranger, he's like just so chill.
He's like a straight-up dog. He's the sweetest thing. He's just no hate in his heart.
He loves to swim.
Yeah, he does.
He's a swimmer, yeah. He loves the pool.
Yeah.
I love our dogs. I can't believe they're one.
I know. We got them at the beginning of the pandemic. That's how long.
Pandemic puppies.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a little concerned because, like, we're with them all the time.
Right.
So eventually, we'll probably start traveling a little bit again. I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to put them in doggy day camp, Pet Paradise. There's a pool there. They're going to love it. They have friends. They have friends. Very social.
They'll be fine.
So I guess it's still the Nurse Blake podcast.
Still the working title.
I think it's still the working title. It'll be just the Nurse Blake podcast ?
Oh, should we add a question mark?
I think so.
I still think, like, we had tons of comments.
So many.
About ideas of what to call it.
I have a few here.
Okay.
We loved reviewing the comments, and I think they were so funny. And I just want to say we're actually just on Apple Podcast. So if you have Apple Podcasts and you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to go out there and subscribe.
Yeah, that finally came through. That's exciting.
And you could just find it by the Nurse Blake Podcast. There's not a question mark. But there were some really fun ideas of paging Nurse Blake.
Cute.
Yeah, interesting. Cute. That would maybe drive me wild. Like, paging Nurse Blake is kind of like, hey, nurse. That's like when patients say, hey, nurse.
Yeah, do hospitals still use pager, like traditional pagers? Because I think of like a beeper on the hip kind of thing.
Yeah. A lot of providers and the physicians or nurse practitioners or PAs will have a pager. So when we're working the floor with a patient and we need to ask the physician a question and they're like on the floor working that day, we typically page them. When I was working in the trauma service at the level one trauma center, I had a pager and would respond to the codes that would come in.
I remember, but it was like, it was like a traditional page. It wasn't like a text messaging thing. So like,
would you
like page and then they call you like a pager used to work?
So typically if you're paging a doctor, They will call you back because you'll give them the extension and then they'll call you. And sometimes it's like a game of like phone tag.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, because then you're busy and in a room. And yeah, so pagers. I know some hospitals, Nemours down here in Orlando, they actually, everyone has like iPhones. Sweet. And that's fancy. I wonder if you could like put your own case on it and like bling. I would have the water in my phone case.
With a goldfish.
100%. And then there was downtime with Nurse Blake, which I thought was cute. So if you don't know what downtime is, that is when the IT department like reboots the medical record system or the charting system on the computers.
Okay.
And it goes down for like a few hours. So no one could use the computers, essentially. So you have to like paper chart.
Okay, so like they bring all the computers down the hospital.
They like reboot them all.
That's like so old school. Like what business reboots?
They do a whole...
Have they heard of the internet? Have they heard of like Amazon Web Services?
It's called downtime. And the nurses cloud. Don't want to work on downtime because it's not fun. And typically they do it when it's a full moon. Always when it's a full moon, there's probably downtime or also time change.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like Y2K down. All over again.
It's like, that's, if you know there's downtime, you're putting in a PTO request.
Pagers and rebooting servers right? Sound like...
Old school.
The 90s.
Old school.
Wow.
There is another idea, the discharge lounge. Ew. Do you know what that means?
That sounds nasty.
A discharge lounge?
What's a discharge lounge?
Okay. So when a patient is being discharged and they're waiting on transportation, but yet we need to open up a bed. Maybe there's an ER patient in the hallway and we need to put them up on the floor. And let's say that patient, their family isn't picking them up till 6 p.m. So we will transport them to the discharge lounge and they'll typically wait there until they're ready to go home.
That is not what I thought the discharge lounge
that
was.
That is the discharge lounge. They're actually becoming a lot more popular. The hospital I worked at in Seattle had a really nice discharge lounge. And there's a discharge nurse there, and they're very helpful, and they help, you know, with all the discharge paperwork and everything. So they're really cool.
That's really cool. I was thinking fluids.
No. DCing a patient, discharging a patient, discharge lounge.
Gotcha. That makes way more
but
sense.
But I
That's
could
a cute
see
name.
Where your mind could have went when, since you're not in healthcare.
For layman, that would be a weird
discharge lounge
podcast name.
And then where is day shift? This is from Cody. He must be a night shift nurse. And you get that quote like when you're working the night shift and it's time for shift change, you're like, where is day shift?
They're still at Starbucks.
Like they're in the Starbucks line or in the Dunkin' line. Yeah. And then day shift's always like, where is night shift? There's even these acronyms, DSP. Would be a day shift problem.
Oh, geez.
And then you have like an NSP, which is a night shift problem.
That's funny. I've never worked in a business that was 24 hours a day.
Okay.
So I've never had like a handoff of a shift in my life. But yeah. I can imagine that's pretty stressful.
Hospitals, 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Thank
and
goodness.
You think the cafeteria would also be open 24 hours a day because you got staff working 24 hours a day. But that's not the case. A lot of times night shift gets forgotten.
Yeah, but I remember when you worked night shift, you liked that. Like, you joke about no management, but that was, like, a real thing.
That's the perk of night shift. You know, but you do wish, like, the cafeteria was open and stuff.
Yeah, I could
Or typically, if they do, like, a pizza party, you know, for staff, it's typically just for, like, day shift, and we get, like, the leftover cold pizza.
Oh, and the mandatory staff meetings, I remember, at 11 a.m.
Oh, those are the worst. When you have to do a mandatory staff meeting when you're on the night shift, horrible.
Yeah, that's rough.
There is another name, the Peanut Butter and Graham Cracker Podcast. So when nurses are hungry and we don't get time to eat or go on break, we typically sneak into the nutrition room. And typically these are for patients, like a little snack. But if we're hungry, we're going to get some peanut butter and graham crackers
for us. Oh,
that's
what you got.
And we turn into a nice sandwich.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah, it's not stealing. It's borrowing. We're hungry. Aww. We're hungry.
Poor thing.
We had a lot of questions about our age. People want to know how old we are. So I'm actually turning 30. Coming up, it's a big year for me. On May 14th, I'm so excited about my birthday. I'm always excited about my birthday.
We're all excited.
I've been talking about it for the past month. It's really like a birth quarter for me. Like, it's a process.
It's a lot. And this is not because you're turning 30. This is like every year you make it's actually been a running joke that you make such a big deal out of your birthday. I think it's so cute.
What's so funny, though, is by the time I get to my birthday, it's not that exciting because I've really been celebrating for 3 months prior.
I know.
And then you just turned 39 in November.
Yep. So I'll be 40 this year. So we both have big milestones in 2021.
And you're actually a Thanksgiving baby because your birthday is November 26th. So it typically follows or falls on Thanksgiving.
So I was born on Thanksgiving, but since it's a revolving holiday, it's always on a Thursday. I think I've only had 4 or 5 birthdays on Thanksgiving, which is weird. Although you've been with me for like 3 of them recently.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
I've had a bunch of Thanksgiving birthdays recently.
That's nice. Everyone brings you food for your birthday on Thanksgiving.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm turning 30. Brett's turning 40. I'm a Taurus, so I have a lot of Taurus energy. Mm. And you're a Sag.
Yep.
A Sagittarius.
Roaming Sag.
A wandering Sag.
Wandering Sag.
I actually looked up if we are compatible, and there's this quote from astrology.com. It said, we are a complementary match, and Taurus can learn to take more risks from the Sagittarius, and Taurus will guide the wandering Sag to establish roots.
That is very true. That's
I think
us.
So. Yeah. I mean, when we've moved around everywhere, it's typically been your idea and I kind of just follow. But now we're in Florida and we are establishing roots.
Wow. We're adulting.
I think we definitely balance each other out.
I think so too. Sure. I'm sort of like, I always love new things. Like I always love going and doing something new and I get bored really quickly.
Yeah.
And you are much better at, you know, that being stable. So you're like my rock.
Aw, thank you. And you're like my hurricane just whipping me around. I got whiplash. You're taking me around everywhere. No, but I love it. And there was one comment that really stuck out on our last episode. And someone said you look like the Maytag man from the commercials.
I saw that comment. She actually put a picture of him in there. Yeah. And I'm like, I've never gotten that before, but I could kind of see that. I mean, he's like an older version of me.
I like that commercial, so I guess if it's...
Well, there you go.
You also get, I know, Carson Daly a lot.
I get Carson Daly all the time. I don't see it, but a lot of people, I guess, think I look like Carson Daly.
So. What was the show he was on?
TRL. Total Request Live.
Yeah, I remember
he was
TRL.
So cool. He always wore like... That like weird, like he had, okay, so do you remember the pants that you could zip off and turn them into shorts?
Baby, I was born in the 90s.
Mm.
Okay. But I do remember those, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So I remember, the only thing I remember from TRL is he would wear those, but he would unzip one of the legs and just let it like hang around his ankle.
So cool.
Because he was so cool.
Wow. And that's your twin.
And that's me, doppelganger.
I actually, this is something we did like a month ago, but and we found out about this a month ago. I Googled your name. And you had come up on articles like Nurse Blake's husband, but there was a whole page about you. And as people were talking about us on the last episode, I'm like, I have to pull some of those quotes.
It's hilarious.
And read them out. I don't know who wrote this, but it is so funny. It says, Brett is astoundingly tall, as his height is 6'1", which is way off. Brett is actually 6'7", yeah. And that's why I sit much lower, because I top, what, 5'7"?
Yeah, I'm about a foot taller than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it says, furthermore, he has a lean body with a weight of 70 kilograms.
Which I think is roughly 150 some pounds, which is like,
not accurate.
Yeah, I'm like 200 pounds. I don't know where that comes from.
And then it says, you have hypnotic hazel brown eyes.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. That is all you.
This is a very accurate depiction of me.
This is where it gets funny because I looked up mine too, and let me read yours. It says, Brett looks very fit and muscular, but we do not know his fitness routine as he does not have social media accounts. He also seems to take protein supplements to remain in shape. And I looked up mine because I'm on the website too, and they're like, even though Blake sports a lean build, it does not see me as a fitness
He's
routine.
Into fitness.
so true. Aww. That's so funny.
You've actually been working out a lot lately.
I have been working out. I like it. I did legs today. So.
Wow.
Because.
Like squats?
You got to work out.
Lunges and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. What I did, babe. Thanks.
Well, we have a like a garage
gym
we sort of pieced
so
together. Yeah, it's really nice.
So I want to get into the state of nursing. This topic is like really, really important to me. And, you know, the thoughts I'm going to be sharing are all from my experience as a nurse over the last 7 years and from comments I receive, you know, and see in other nurses that I talk to. I know when I brought up state of nursing, you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, obviously, with COVID, you know, the nursing profession has undergone like this massive stress test.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fact. I mean, this, of all the times to talk about the state of nursing, this probably seems like it because my assumption is we're all going to learn a lot looking back over the past year.
For sure. And we're still very much in COVID-19, but I feel like a lot of the problems that were heightened due to the pandemic have been around for a long time. We just kind of accepted it. And I feel like a lot of them really brought, you know, a lot of major issues to light within nursing. One of those being staffing is always a huge problem. Nurses are always work short staffed. And typically, you know, if we're short staffed once or twice, it's like, okay, not a problem. We'll help each other out and care for patients because as nurses, we're caring individuals. So we don't mind like extending ourselves. It's when you're walking into your shift every day short staffed. That takes a toll. You know, when you're set to only care for 4 patients and now you're caring for 7 or 8 patients. It's like,
wow.
That's not what I signed up for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then, you know, floating is another big issue. And there was a story someone submitted to us, and I just want to read it to you. It's from a NICU nurse. NICU are with all the little babies.
Aww.
So it reads, I was a NICU nurse for 17 years and ultimately had to resign during the pandemic because we were being floated to take care of adults, which I hadn't done since nursing school. I felt like I was giving poor care and we were put in unsafe conditions. It wasn't fair to me or the patients. The anxiety on my days off worrying about being floated my next shift became too much to handle. I'm still heartbroken to not be able to care for the preemies and their families. It was my calling and my identity. It's been rough. That's, for a nurse that's been, you know, in their specialty 17 years and they're floated, you know, to take care of adults, which they're not used to. I see that's not really fair. That's not really fair to the nurse and it's not really fair to patients. You know, some people will say, a nurse is a nurse, so they should be able to work anywhere. No. I mean, we're trained in certain specialties. You know, when you are working on a new unit, you get oriented, and sometimes that's weeks or even months. So you learn the patients, the procedures you see, the patient population, the medications. And when you're coming onto your shift and you get floated, you're like, what?
That would be like any job if they said, okay, no, you're not going to be in accounting today. We're going to put you in the warehouse or we're going to put you in, IT today. You're going to be answering. And you're like, I don't know anything about that.
Right. No.
Well, but you work here.
Right. People just say, well, you're employed by the hospital, so you should be able to float. No. When I applied to work on this unit right here.
It's like your TikTok.
Right. You know, totally. And I kind of compare the healthcare industry to the airline industry. And when it comes to staffing being short and also being floated, my best friend Kim, shout out to Kim, she is a flight attendant. And I asked her, I said, if you're ever short staffed flight attendant or pilots, what happens? She's like, we don't fly because of safety. Like it's required to have a certain number of flight attendants per passengers and plane, and same with pilots. And she's like, what do you do at work if you're short staffed? Pick up all that, you know, extra slack because the patient's got to be cared for. Yeah, and it all comes down to a staffing issue. And turnover and burnout are so high that, you know, people are leaving, you know, the unit for different reasons or even leaving nursing. And it's really, really sad to see. And at the end of the day, it does impact patients. Another example of floating, I want to bring this up because you're a pilot.
Yep.
A private pilot, so you didn't fly for any airlines. But it was so funny because one day we were hiking in Seattle, and Brett's like, it would be so cool to become a pilot. And I was like, okay, I dare you to become a pilot. And he totally did.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, we came back to Houston from our trip, and you were, like, doing pilot lessons.
Yeah, and, like, a month later, I had my license, and we were flying.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
He talked me into getting, like, a little tiny plane, and we were in Houston when we had it, but we would fly to, like, San Antonio for dinner. We would fly to Austin. It was just so fun.
That was awesome.
I love it.
It was awesome. Yeah, so being a pilot, you know, comes with all these restrictions. Like, you get your pilot certificate, and it gives you, like, the bare minimum of what you're allowed to do. You can only fly in good weather. You can't have more than, you know, three other passengers. You can't fly an airplane over a certain performance, like horsepower kind of a thing. So, you know, if you want to do those things, then you need to get certified or endorsements for those things. So
right.
It's kind of like when you go on a unit and you get trained and you go through the whole preceptorship. I can't imagine just being floated.
Yeah.
To bring it back to commercial flying, like if a pilot is is supposed to be on a 737, that's what he flies. And all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're going to have you fly this 747 today. It doesn't work that way.
They can't. They need to be trained for it.
Of course.
Yeah, totally.
It's about
safety. And at the end of the day, you know, nurses, we want to help. But I think it definitely comes down to a safety issue and also, you know, staff satisfaction. There was one crazy example that I really liked. There's one nurse that told me, she said, I was applying to this hospital and I actually applied for the float pool. And what a float pool means, or a float nurse, is they're typically really experienced. They've worked in different settings in the hospital, you know, puts them on different units that they, you know, apply to be in float pool. And what's really cool about that position is you actually get paid more. Like
nice.
The float pool nurses, they got money. They got the money. And she didn't get the job because they told her she didn't have enough experience. So she actually got a job on the unit. And she said, but yet I get floated every shift. So how can you say I'm not experienced and then I apply and get a job on a unit, but yet I get floated? Like, that just tells you that you need experience, and you need to be trained in certain specialties.
Sounds like they just didn't want to pay her that extra float pool.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad. And, you know, going back to that story from the NICU nurse, you know, it's kind of like twofold. Number one, she doesn't feel safe, she said, caring for patients that she is not specialized in, right?
Yep.
These adult patients. And the other sad thing is, you know, she spent her career, her passion within nursing is caring for preemies, is caring for the families of these children. And to have that unfortunately taken away from her is just so sad.
Yeah. It's sad when you see a nurse kind of leave the profession for various reasons, because we need nurses. You know, we need amazing nurses. And I feel that, you know, nurses aren't brought to the table on a lot of issues when it comes to making decisions in the hospitals. And I feel like hospitals spend way too much time and money trying to recruit new nurses rather than just keep their current nurses happy.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I actually have a good example of nurses not really being involved. We talked last episode that I was in lighting and I worked on a lot of healthcare facilities. So I worked with the design teams, and the interior designers and the architects would be working together with the management from the hospitals, whoever's in charge of, like, you know, design and whatnot. And we would be in meetings. I would be sitting there in meetings as the lighting expert talking about what needs to go into a patient room and a nurse's station and the hallway. And, you know, they had all these standards, but they would occasionally bring in maybe a doctor from the floor. But the reality is, never once did I talk to a nurse. No one on the planning team had, at the end of the day, any real medical experience. They were just designers and administrators.
And nurses are in the room the most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, who better to say where they want the sharps container in the sink than the people who are actually using those items? And never once, and I even on a few occasions, because you were a nurse, I said, you know, my husband's a nurse. Do you involve the nurses in these decisions? Oh, no, we have our standards and our this and that. I was like, okay, well.
I've worked at hospitals in new towers, and sometimes you're like, wait, why is the sink there? Like, that makes no sense. And I think that's such a great example. Thank you for sharing that. Just one example of nurses not being brought to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. I feel like, you know, in nursing school, you have all the support and you're with people that you're, you know, graduating with and like going through things together. And sometimes you become a nurse and you don't necessarily feel that same sense of camaraderie because we're overworked, you know, turnover again, burnout is very real, I think now more than ever with COVID-19. But I feel like there is light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like there is a lot of momentum, especially when it comes to safe staffing, that if we keep this momentum and we stick together, we could definitely create this necessary change, not only for the nursing profession, but also for the care of our patients. At the end of the day, we're also patient advocates. And when we advocate on these issues, I think it ultimately can improve, you know, patient care.
I'm all about it. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, it's all about the patients. And I think sometimes it's hard for nurses to take a step back and say, I need to care for myself and the other nurses on my unit in order to care for my patients, because that's just extra work that they have to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. No, totally. I definitely think, you know, moving these issues forward and keeping the momentum can definitely create a lot of change. So it's about us as nurses, like realizing our power. There are over 4 million nurses in the U.S. And if we really, you know, stuck together and advocated for this, that's why I wanted to create NurseCon with you, our membership organization for nurses and nursing students, to come together and talk on these issues. A lot of the ideas we're going to be getting from the podcast actually come from the daily discussions on the NurseCon platform. So if you're interested in being a part of an amazing nursing organization, it's open to nurses and nursing students around the world. We have members from the UK and Australia and the Philippines. And it's so cool because we don't, you know, like a lot of other organizations are very much segmented, like the Nursing Student Association, the MedSurg, the Critical Care. But it's so cool having such a variety of members that are all talking about the same topics. I mean, we have pre-nursing students, being able to talk with deans of nursing and professors. We do certain like happy hours and meetups, and it's such a great supportive and positive community.
Yeah, it's super cool. We also do wellness courses, which I think are really awesome and much needed right now. Yoga and meditation and like pre-shift stretching is super cool. And they're actually taught by real nurses who are also certified yoga instructors.
Yeah, Nurse Polly and Nurse Sam lead our wellness. And it's so cool that there are working nurses and they also are certified yoga teachers.
Super cool.
We also do CNEs, so continuing nursing education, that are all included for our members. So if you need some CNEs and want them in a really fun and interactive way, they're taught by our really fun NurseCon instructors. So get your CNEs through NurseCon. We also have member discounts to brands like Scrubs and Beyond for our members, 20% off. We actually also offer a discount for Nurse Blake merch. We flew through all the hoodies.
Oh my gosh.
All the night shift nurse shirts.
We've been packing like for the past 2 days. I think that's all we've been doing.
I know.
Yeah. I hope there's some left. Yeah. Although we've ordered a bunch more. So.
If you all get your merch and you order merch, definitely post pictures on social so I could see them.
Yeah. You did a great job with this new set. I love it. Like the quality's awesome.
Thank you. No,
I'm not trying to plug. I'm just like, it's really
no,
super
I definitely
cool.
love the merch. I actually got an email this morning from Mary. She's like, I ordered a night shift nurse shirt, but I got the, can you pick up my shift shirt? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was so excited to like pack up all the merch because, you know, I pack up most of it and I also, you know, I sign cards and I put them in with like a wristband and a sticker. And I guess I was just too excited. I missed one. So we're going to get you that hoodie to you.
Now she gets two shirts.
She does. We're going to get you that hoodie. But that's it. I really love, you know, talking about this issue, the state of nursing. I feel like everyone has their own thoughts and opinions on this issue. So definitely share them down below in the comments because it's definitely something we need to move forward. And, you know, some people might say, well, that's how it's always been in nursing. And while I get that that's true, that doesn't mean that we can't push for more change.
Yeah. In anything and everything you do, you should always try to learn and better yourself. And what a great time for nurses to really focus on that.
Yeah. Just like you said, it's the ultimate stress test to nursing, to that, you know, the healthcare profession, and definitely much needed change.
Love it.
Yes. Cool. So I want to do some shout outs. We got a lot of people that submitted shout outs through my website. So if you ever want to share a story or a shout out, you could do that on my website at nurseblake.com. We have Brittany. She wants to shout out to all her ICU nurses at Maine Medical Center. She said, "You are all an inspiration and I wouldn't want to work alongside another group."
Aww.
She also wants to shout out to the nursing students at University of Southern Maine. And shout out to all nursing students, because going to nursing school through a pandemic, I can't even imagine.
It's so different. Yeah.
Right. And typically you get a lot of clinical practice, like with real patients. And I'm hearing stories like they're having to practice in Foley insertion on a water bottle.
Like that, or a folded towel. Or
right.
Something.
It's like, what? So keep up the good work. All your passion and dedication will definitely pay off. We have Catherine wants to shout out to Ward 4K in Gosford, Australia.
Cool.
She is a second year RN, and this ward has taken me under her wing, under their wing. And that is so happy to hear. You know, always entering, you know, the nursing profession as a nursing student can be very intimidating and you get very nervous. I remember in my first few shifts, I would have to take a PSP.
What's a PSP?
A pre-shift poop.
Oh.
Because you get just so nervous and anxious. But you have to find the right bathroom for sure. And definitely bring like a small poopery.
Oh, jeez.
And then Linda wants to shout out to her daughter, Heidi, a COVID nurse and nurse educator. She said that she is so passionate about being a nurse and nurse educator. She is my hero, and I am so proud of her. So Heidi, your mom loves you, and she's so proud of you. And then we have one from Trevor. Congratulations to my amazing fiance, Brandon, who just graduated from nursing school and passed his NCLEX. Congratulations, Brandon, and got a job in the PCU. Trevor is so incredibly proud of you and can't wait to see what life has in store for us. Get ready, buckle up, because being with the nurse, so fun,
it's a
right?
Lot.
Smile big.
It's a lot. Bigger. I think we definitely need to dedicate, like, at least one episode to just relationships.
Yes.
Going through nursing school together, going through like first shift or first, you know, nursing job. Like I have a lot to say.
Good. I can't wait. This will be like a marriage counseling session.
I love it.
I love it. Thank you all so much for watching. This is the Nurse Blake podcast. You could download it everywhere. Podcasts are downloadable. You could also watch it on my YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe and I will see all of you later. Bye.
Bye.